In our continuation of the study of regeneration, we know that many have professed with the mouth that they are Christians. Well, many claim to be Christians, and wherever you go in this world, well, you come across people and they will claim to be a Christian. And yes, I believe in the Lord and all that stuff. But here we understand that Paul preaches of a new creature. And the new creature is to point out that those who are without an inward change, that those who simply profess to be a Christian, yet there is still no inward change. Well, you say many claim to be Christian simply because they're baptized. Well, there are those that simply claim to be Christian because they go to church twice on a Sunday and they go to the prayer meetings. But is that really a Christian? And however, this is not the case, because in this passage of Scripture, it was thus very similar in Paul's time. Because you see, the Apostle Paul dealt with the very similar things that we deal with today. Well, it was a different time for him, but yet the problems were the same. Because in Paul's time, many claimed to be Christian and many claimed to be walking with the Lord, but yet there was no inward change. And in this passage of Scripture, it was thus very similar also. And Paul was preaching in the name of Christ. And Paul's love and zeal were disregarded by many at Corinth. And as we look at the context of this reading, that many did not listen to Paul. Because as we read, it had the words right here. It said that he was deemed by himself. But they forgot that Paul had God. That Paul truly had the Holy Spirit. But it didn't matter whether he had numbers. But you see, Paul was neutral both to their rejection and applause, because he proclaimed to them the function of his motive. That Paul's motive was not to gain popularity. As many preachers preach, or many evangelical circles, they come to claim popularity today, and they want the membership, and they want to grow the church in a corporate world. No, this wasn't Paul. Although Paul, being by himself, he proclaimed to them the function of his motive was not popularity. But it says that what he was constrained by. And you see, friend, tonight, it's very important to understand that what constrained Paul, it was the influence of the love of Christ. And that's why he was there. And that, however awkward or different his views and actions appear, that if they were true Christians, that these people at Corinth, if they were true Christians, that they would abide and imitate them, because their current views and habits were very carnal. You must understand that Paul was preaching to a carnal crowd. That Paul had to confront them and to preach this message, a new creature in Christ, because they still live like the old nature. If anyone be in Christ, he is a truly believer in him. This new creation can be only the power of God, who created the world, can also make a Christian. That he who created the world and created a Christian can also take a sinner from the depths of depravity and to make him into a saint of God. And there was a preacher once that he had a congregation member come to him. And the congregation member came to the preacher and said to the preacher, "Well, preacher, we've seen one of your converts down at the pub. getting drunk and making a fool of themselves. You know what the preacher said? He said, well, brother, you're right. That was my convert. It wasn't the Lord's. And you see something there, because he knew that it must be a work of God. It's not through the work of the church. It's not through the work of the preacher. Oh no, Paul knew what to preach in this context. If anyone be in Christ, then he is truly a believer in him. And yes, the creator of the world can take a guilty, vile sinner and pronounce him righteous before God Almighty. And this is something to rejoice in, that we rejoice in the work of regeneration upon every sinner, that once they were trotting this other road, but yet we see the divine work of God upon a man or a woman. And when he so is created, the old things are passed away. As our text states, the old things are passed away of their own accord. Oh, that's a true change of heart. And all things are become new. There is new life. And that's why they call it this morning, as we went through the new birth, it truly is a new birth. And here we see the Pauline epistle here. He's calling it a new creature. Yes. Old things have passed away. And all things become new. A renewed outlook on life. This new outlook on life of great love for the Savior and for the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, men, the whole creation, heaven and earth and all therein appear in new lights. And stand related to him in a new manner. The view is changed. Once blinded in darkness, and now the light has shone, that even when you look at the creation, you can see this is the work of God. Since he was created anew in Christ Jesus, therefore it is a question that every single person in this world must ask themselves, that eternity depends on. Am I a true Christian? And that's what Paul was trying to govern here. Are you really a true Christian here? Did you really experience the new birth? Well, in order to answer this question, we must identify what the Bible says about the characteristics of a Christian. It truly is a new creature. Notice the words of our text. It says here that he is a new creature. A new creature means and implies that there must be this radical change. Have you ever seen a creature die and change into something different? Well, the most easily illustration I can give to you is, you can see this and experience this when you see a caterpillar. Well, you see, preacher, what are you trying to say here? What does a caterpillar have to do with anything? Well, you see, it is said that a caterpillar literally dies and no longer has that old nature. Well, the caterpillar literally dies and radically transforms its body, eventually emerging into a butterfly. Now that's a radical change. And we see this truly change, and a change that truly is significant. Well, many warrant that a change of habit simply means that one is saved, as we mentioned this morning. A change of habit does not warrant being born again. Well, a drunkard may stop going to the bars and sober up. A drug-addicted person might become clean, yet their changes do not amount to regeneration of the heart. That's just merely a change of habit. The greatest changes will not be enough unless they are total and deep and wrought by the Holy Spirit. You see, a man is said to be a true Christian if he be in Christ. And you see, that's the message here tonight, that Paul was trying to even preach here. In Christ is the new creature. And that's when the radical change happens, when he is entangled into him as a branch of the living vine. Jesus said that I am the vine and ye are the branches. That's truly being entangled with Christ. The Lord said that too. And when he truly believes in Christ, he is then a Christian. But in order to show what a change every man experiences when he becomes a Christian, the apostle makes it clear and says of him that he is a new creature. And in this term, there is reference to the creation of the world, which may be identified as a type or pattern of that work of regeneration, which God performs in the hearts of his people. And we see here that the new creation in the passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the word therefore refers us back to the passages of 14, verses 14 to 16, where Paul tells us that all believers have died with Christ and no longer live for themselves. You see, he's teaching these carnal people of Corinth that no, there's a new change here. No longer living for the world, but now you're living for Christ. You see, he is teaching that our lives are no longer worldly, but rather they are now spiritual. Our death is that of the old nature, which is nailed to the cross with Christ, as stated in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, as it states here, and I'll read it to you, that our old man, that's the old nature, that our old man is crucified with him. That new person that was raised up is what Paul's refers to in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, as the new creation. That's the new nature, the new creation, and that's what Paul is referring to. You see, the connection between them may be seen in the following two points: in the appearance and the order. Firstly, let us look at the appearance. The world was created by God according to his own sovereign will, without any intervention by man, and thus brought into existence in a moment of time. It was gradually perfected in its variety, where therefore the souls of God's people are regenerated purely by the sovereign will of God and completely through the agency of the Holy Spirit and his word. You must understand that here tonight. This truly is without any intervention by man, but solely the work of the Spirit. And notice the words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. I will read it to you here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Okay, he's referring to creation here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in what? In the face of Jesus Christ. There is an instant of time which is unknown to us, when the new man, as well as the old, obtains this vital truth, a moment whereby we are quickened from the dead and pass from death unto life. And that's talking about the transition. It's talking about the transition from the old man to the new man. But notice the work of grace is carried on in a constant progression. That grace is a constant progression in the Christian's life. And it talks about here, the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's referring to the progression of grace. The growth of a Christian is truly renewed day by day as we see them going on with the Lord. Secondly, let us look at in the order. Remember in creation that it was light that was the first thing that was made in the material world. And after that, the harmony of all parts of the good of the whole. Therefore, it was light. Notice the word light that is fastened into the mind of the regenerate man. A view of his guilt and his misery is given to him. But that's truly the light that the Holy Spirit convinces of sin. And now that light is fastened into the mind of the regenerate man. A view of his guilt and his misery is given to him, and realized his former passions, his natural pride, his love of sin, his reliance on works, his perverted habits and passions, supreme love of self, and with it, self-righteousness. Oh, those are the old things that are passed away. But a true Christian experiences this change and must. That's why, as we touch base this morning on the necessity of the new birth, it truly is a necessity. The restoration of the soul after God's image. Old things pass away, and all things become new. Oh, that truly is the work of the Spirit. And the outlook on sin has changed. But you being a Christian here tonight, that your outlook on sin has changed with that day that you were converted. Sin that was once regarded as pleasurable and desirable has now changed. No, the view has changed. Very different one. His eyes are opened and the veil is removed. Sin, you see, is seen in its true colors. And only God can give that light to see, because the natural man is at enmity with God. It is now viewed as disgusting, abominable, and evil. What was once a love for sin, now he hates it from the most inner part of his soul. He desires deliverance, and so much from hell itself. That's the new creature. And notice here, in the new creature in Christ, the Christian, his outlook on Christ. Oh, we roam about this world and we often hear people taking the name of the Lord in vain. Whether it's in the workplace or simply going to the grocery store or whatever it may be, we hear that there's a natural hate towards the things of God. Well, perhaps in your unconverted days, you took the Lord's name in vain, but not anymore. Because the name of Christ, which was once cursed in his life, is now the highest name to proclaim. Once felt no love towards him, But now the name of Jesus is precious to the Christian. He is filled by the Holy Ghost with love towards his Savior. He now cleaves unto Christ with the fullness of his heart. Oh, this new creature has a new outlook on Christ and a new outlook on life. The life once lived full of envy to the world, constantly marveled by what the world has to offer. Magnetized by sin. Oh, this world truly is a Broadway. Broad is the way that our Lord did preach. But know, the root of the message is that divine work upon the heart. Solely the work of the Spirit. Because there's lots of people like me going around preaching that there's something that the sinner must do to be saved. And I don't believe that's right. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches here a divine work from the Spirit of God. To the sinner, it was only a Christless eternity that awaited until God stepped in. The Lord owes us nothing, but we owe him everything. Because we see that God stepped in our lives, regenerated by the work of the Spirit, solely the work of God. And when Paul goes back to prove his point that creation was a work of God, so is the new birth, so is the new creature in Christ. Solely the work of God. No, it's not manufactured by man. No, it's not the work of the church. It's not the work of religious leaders. It's not the work of baptism. And as one preacher said, you can be baptized many times. It'll make you wetter, but it won't make you any better. That's ritualistic practice. But solely the work of God Almighty. May God save us here tonight from pseudo-Christianity. May God save us from empty religion. May God save us from merely just a profession of words. No. May the faith given from above give us genuine conviction and conversion, even in the Church of Christ today. Thank God for the second part. Thank God for his teaching and through the work of the Spirit. Oh, yes, but many new converts, they come and they say, well, preacher, I'm saved, but yet I still have this old self that wants to come out. The old nature wants to come out. But thank God Almighty for the new man. Thank God Almighty for the new creation, the new creature. Because even though the war wails between the old man and the new man, thank God there is victory in the new man. The new nature that God has given victory when he went to the cross. That even all the powers of hell and the devil himself, that when those words from the Lord at Golgotha's hill, when he uttered that it is finished, overcoming all powers of darkness. There is victory here tonight. And that I want you to take away with you, that there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And though the old nature wants to come out, there is temptation. Thank God there is victory in the new nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he truly is a new creature. It confirms that salvation is annexed to the entrance before mentioned. Remarkable, it is the saying of our Savior when the Lord spoke in Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. Follow me, saith the Lord, and I will make you fishers of men. See, our Lord will not make men ministers till they follow him. Well, there are preachers today and ministers today that do not follow Christ, but yet they're fishing for souls. And they might be fishing faithfully for a good time and for worldly self, but not for the conversion of sinners to God. Is it reasonable to suppose that they will be earnestly concerned for others' salvation when they themselves are not saved? No. Remember Martin Luther, in his autobiography, I believe that I want to mention to you here because he puts it very well. When Martin Luther talking about his unconverted times, notice what he says here. I meditated night and day on those words until at last, by the mercy of God, I paid attention to their context. The justice of God is revealed in it, as it is written, the just person lives by faith and not by works of the law. I began to understand that in this verse, the justice of God is that by which the just person lives, by a gift of God, that is by faith. I began to understand that this verse means that the justice of God is revealed through the gospel, but it is a passive justice that by which the merciful God justifies us by faith, as it is written, the just person lives by faith. All at once, I felt that I had been born again and entered into paradise itself through the open gates. Immediately, he says, I saw the whole of Scripture in a different light. This ex-Catholic priest that knew the ritualistic practices of Roman Catholicism immediately, I saw the Scriptures in a different light. And he goes on to say, he says, I ran through the Scriptures from memory and found that other terms had other meanings. The work of God, that is, what God works in us. That's the message here tonight, what God works in us, by which he makes us powerful. The wisdom of God, by which he makes us wise. The strength of God, the salvation of God, the glory of God. End quote. Martin Luther's autobiography. The ex-monk, knowing the just shall live by faith. Yes, as he ran, and the Scriptures brought forth new lights. And we see here in conclusion, I want to mention to you here, my, there are many that claim to be Christian. And just like that man I told you about this morning, that devout Muslim man, that devout man that prays many times a day, and he goes to the temple and he does every ordinance under the sun. My friend, that truly is empty religion. There are many false notions that people think they are saved, and thus main culprits being false religion. The word makes it very clear. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So to answer the question, am I a real Christian? Well, the passage makes it very clear. And the Apostle Paul, he leaves absolutely no room for exception. In favor of every man whatsoever, the words. Notice what he said in our text. If any man. The same Paul that said, there is not one righteous, no, not one. If any man be a Christian, he is and without a doubt must be a new creature. And the same as we went this morning, except a man be born again, then he cannot see the kingdom of God. As the scriptures are woven together, tightly knit, this ought to be vital principle of all who profess the Christian faith, that they be new creatures. You see, this carnal church, they were living without change. But Paul, you see, he ensured them that if any man must be here, and we also see here that they must have a new heart and a new nature. And so vast is the change the grace of God makes in the soul that as it follows, old things are passed away. It's such a radical change. Old thoughts, old principles, old thinking, old practices are all passed away. And all of these things become new. Nor does this impose a mere change of morality. While many come, I haven't killed anybody, and I lived a morally upright life. Yet they're still going to the same hell as the murderer and the adulterer and the fornicator because they've yet to come to the Savior. You see, the Lord truly sees the heart. The change must be entire. It must be a complete renovation of every part of the soul. And that's why we sing such hymns that there's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. That soul-cleansing power. Yes, that's why we sing such hymns. And here, the entire change. Our thoughts, our desires, our motives, our principles. Is then this great change taken place? The answer is very important because all eternity depends on it. Here, as we come full circle, as we preach this morning, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And here it is, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he truly is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. May the Lord add his blessing to his words, and may the Lord richly bless us indeed. Let us end with a hymn.